You guys can have a seat. Well, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we really are grateful that each and every one of you are here. Hey, last week you had a week off, right? It was a weather, and so you stayed at home, and you slept in, and hopefully you watched online, and you continued in this teaching series. And for all of those of you who are in Lincoln and South County, we're so glad that you have joined us. And those of you who are watching from home today, thank you for being there. And it really is our prayer that God will speak to you no matter where you find yourself. We're going to wrap up this teaching today. This is the last teaching in this series about the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue the study through 1 Corinthians, but the way that we have framed this first half of this teaching is really about the Holy Spirit, because all of us know what it feels like to run in the red. And we don't have to live there. We don't have to stay there. That we can actually live life fully charged with everything that we need in order to live our life, if we'll just plug in to the Holy Spirit, if we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to take our life, and if we'll just yield ourselves to Him. And that's what we've been looking at. So what we've done in this study is we've looked at this theme of the Holy Spirit through the letter that Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and this letter in 1 Corinthians. But we also have looked at how the Holy Spirit has worked in other places in the Bible. And there's this theme of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, starting all the way in the very beginning in Genesis 1, that the Holy Spirit was with God in creation. He was a part of creation. And that throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit comes upon people. He does not come in to live inside of people in the Old Testament. He can't do that yet because Jesus hasn't come. The ascension hasn't happened yet. The death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension hasn't happened yet. So Jesus comes in the New Testament. And we see in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus in His baptism. At His baptism, the Holy Spirit comes in the form of this dove. In Luke chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, what happens? Jesus needs the Holy Spirit in order to be empowered for ministry, in order to live out the way that God has called us to live. And so we see the Holy Spirit come upon Jesus and empower Jesus for ministry in Luke chapter 4. And then when Jesus is about ready to go to the cross, He has this gathering of those disciples. And He's like, hey, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And then He says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, wait here until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. And then after you receive that power of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to go and be my witnesses everywhere you go. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit actually comes to indwell people. Why? Because Jesus had finally went back to heaven, and Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're going to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter tells us in 2 Peter, in chapter 1 and verse number 3, Peter tells us that God gives us everything that we need in order to live a godly life through the Holy Spirit. So, we can do this. We can live our life and not have to live in the red. We can live our life and be fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can live your life and have a joy and a peace. You can live your life and have self-control. We can do this because we've been given this gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Today, as we wrap up this teaching, we are going to focus on this idea right here, that talk is cheap, but living is costly. Talk is cheap, but living is costly. It's possible, but it's costly. And we all know, we've heard the phrase for years, right? Talk is cheap. And we all know that person, right? Students, you know that person that shows up in your school, and they're talking trash about how good they are on the court, right? They're talking trash about how good they are on the field, or they're talking trash about how good they are in video games. And then you go for it. You say, hey, well, let's go. I'll meet you on the court. Or, hey, I'll meet you online, let's play. And then all of a sudden, their talk, you realize they've got cheap talk because you just crushed them. And then what do? Oh, it was, oh, I had a bad day today, you know. I just wasn't feeling it today. I usually play better, right? And that's talk is cheap. But actually performing it, those of you, you have that guy in your office, in your workspace. He comes in, like, you're talking about a project, and he just has something to say about everything that you are saying there. And they're, oh, this is the right way to do it. Oh, this is how, oh, well, this is way. And then you're just like, oh, my gosh, talk is cheap. Oh, yeah, well, won't you come over to my house? Well, you know, I'm not coming over there to do that, you know. So talk is cheap. But actually to live it out, well, that's costly. That's a little bit harder. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. Anyone can talk about Jesus. Anyone can say, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Anyone can use the words, but to actually live it out is costly. To actually live that way is going to cost you. This, I know I shared this story with you before, but I'm going to share it again because it just rings so true. Because I'll just never forget this. This happened a few years ago. My kids were young. I was coaching basketball for my kids. And, you know, I always like to give my disclaimer. When I was thinking about this, I was like, should I do this? Yeah, I'm just going to give my disclaimer again. So my disclaimer is I grew up in Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. I grew up watching Bobby Knight coach basketball, right? And so if you know anything about basketball, Google Bobby Knight and, you know, you'll get all kinds of things about Bobby Knight. So I grew up underneath that. And there's just something that changes in me. I don't know what it is, but I get on the basketball court. Well, any competition. And all of a sudden, I just change. It's because it's all about winning, right? And so I'm just in that mode. It's you win at all costs, you know? And so I coached like that. And I was coaching my boys in their game. And I'll never forget this moment. Because the refs, you know, they never made the calls the right way, at least not the right way that I saw, right? And so I always just encourage them, right? I encourage them of how they missed a call or how, you know, why'd you call that? That's not what that was, you know? And after doing that, in fact, this just came up last night. Last night, kids were over and friends were over, and one of my son's friends was, he said, Mr. Moore, do you remember when the refs used to, like, give you a tech all the time? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, right? Well, this one time, I'm walking back across the gym floor, and in front of the entire gym, right, this parent stands up, and this if she's a grandmother, this grandma says, Coach Rick, what church did you say you were a pastor at? Yeah, this was like, you know, just stab me in the heart with a spoon, right? I mean, you know, that just hurts. And I don't know what's wrong with me. Why do I get like that? I like to blame it on Bobby Knight. It's not Bobby Knight's fault. It's because living it out is costly. It takes something. And in our spiritual life, it's the same way. Talk is cheap. You can come to church and talk. But can you go live it out in your school the next day? Can you go live it out in your workplace the next day? So here's what I want us to do. If South County and Lincoln and those of you online, I want you to take that half sheet of paper. Those of you in our space right here, take that half sheet of paper, get a pen, and on that half sheet of paper, I want you to write some words, just words. Don't write a whole story, just write some words. And the words that I want you to write is to answer this question. At your funeral, what words would you hope that a non-Christ follower would use to describe you and the way you lived your life? So will you do that? I want you to take 60 seconds right now. Think about what are the words that you hope that people who don't even believe in God, people who don't believe in Jesus, what are you hoping that they would remember about you? Go ahead and take the time. Write that right now. Those of you online, we want you to engage with us too. Come on, you can play. Jump in. What are the words that you hope a non-Christ follower would use to describe you and the way you lived your life? All right, stop for a second. And now here's what I want you to do with those words that you wrote down. I want you to answer this next question. How do the words that you wrote down match up with your daily actions? The words that you hope that non-Christ following person would remember you by. Are those the same words that do your actions, the way that you actually live your life, do they match up with how you hope that they would see you? And then, how many of the words that you wrote down have to do with the words that actually come out of your mouth, that the words that you actually speak versus the way that you live your life? And I would guarantee that a high percentage, now our words do matter. The words that come out of our mouth, absolutely they matter. But a high percentage of the words that you wrote down that you hope that non-Christ follower would see in your life and remember you by at your funeral have to do more with the way that you lived your life, have to do more with your actions than the actual words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because following Christ isn't as much about our words as much as it is about our daily living. And that's what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. So take your Bible, turn to that letter, open up your Bible app, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start in verse 20. So we're going to start towards the end of the chapter, and then we're going to come back around to the beginning of the chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul just drops this bomb right on him in verse number 20. Check this out. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. It's living empowered by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God isn't just because you get up and say, oh, I believe this. No, the kingdom of God is that you actually live it out. It's this whole idea. Don't tell me what you believe. Show me what you believe. This is the kingdom." This is what Paul says. And how do we do that? How do we actually live out the kingdom of God? It's by the power of God. It's by His Holy Spirit. This whole thing that we've been talking about. Now I want you to think about that blank sheet of paper that you have. And you've got a couple of words on there. Do you realize Paul uses this idea that you are a letter? In fact, in his second letter that he writes to the church at Corinth, here's what he says. He says, "The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves." Why? Because your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Paul says the way that you live your life, that you are living your life and you are writing this letter, this story that everybody is reading. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, "Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." See, it's possible for you to live your life in such a way where you are a living letter that actually points people back to God, that actually brings Him more honor and more glory. Is that what your life is reading like? How does your life read? How do you want your life to read at the end of your life, at your funeral? Whenever I do a funeral, it makes me do a lot of self-reflection about what do I want to be remembered for. And here's the key. Paul will come back in our text. Let's go back to verse number 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Understanding the big idea that Paul has dropped on them, that the kingdom of God isn't about a lot of talk. It's about living by the power of God. He says this, "So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries." Here, he's talking about the other pastor, Apollos, who was there teaching, along with other speakers who were teaching in the Corinth church. And he grabs and he points at Apollos, and he says, hey, Paul, he puts this label on himself, And he puts this label on Apollos. In fact, we talked about it last week, if you watched online, this idea of servants. Servants of Christ. And we don't like that. We don't like that word. Our culture today, we don't like to think of ourselves as servants. We're like, hey, I'm not a servant to anybody. I'm only going to serve myself. Right? I mean, that's kind of our culture. I'm not going to serve you. I mean, you know this is true because you have stood in line at customer service, right? And you know, you got to the counter, it was your turn, and you felt like you were interrupting them in the middle of their work, right? And so you step back and you look and you're like, no, the sign says customer service. I think your job is to service the customer, right? And you know, you're getting all these mixed messages. Why? Because in our culture today, we have forgotten what it's like to actually show up and to serve other people. And Paul tells us as Christ followers that this is the label that we should wear, but this is a posture that we should have wherever we show up. Is that how you show up? Do you show up with this heart and this attitude of how can I serve you? You know what's going to help you get along better with that hard person at your work, that person that just rubs you the wrong way, that person who knows who lives out that talk is cheap, you know? You know how you're going to be able to get along? Show up with the attitude of how can I serve that guy today? What can I do just to serve him? Instead of becoming angry, what if you were just like, how can I serve him? That person who's behind the customer service counter and they're supposed to be providing service to the customer, what if you are just like, I'm not going to get angry today. I'm going to serve them. I'm just going to start turning the questions around and serve them. See, this is hard, but it's possible if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you. And what Paul does is say that we've got to get to this place where we are living our life truly as a servant, showing up saying, hey, just how can I serve you today? In every way that we think and the way that we live. And then what Paul will do, Paul goes on in the very next verse, in verse 2, he says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Because talk is cheap, because anybody can stand up one week and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I do. I believe in Jesus. How about you, right? Anybody can get up and do that. But can you live it out? 1 week after the next week, 1 month after the next month. See, Paul says there's something about actually being a servant, actually serving on behalf of Jesus wherever you go. There's something about saying, oh, I can do it for a week. But there's something else about saying I can do it month in, month out, year in, year out. God, Paul's reminding us that we have a stewardship responsibility with the way that we wear the label Christ follower and showing up to serve others. And he says we've got to be faithful. Are you faithful? Are you consistent in the way that you show up to serve? Again, it's hard. But it's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now what he does is he points it. He says, as for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated. It's almost like he's like changing subjects. But there's this common belief among Bible scholars that there's been this question. There's been people questioning Paul's authority. And who does he think he is? He can tell us how that we need to live our life, right? And the Bible scholars think that he's trying to help answer that question. So he says, as for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or any other human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment at this point. My conscience is clear. This is a key phrase. I'll read the whole verse and we'll come back. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove that I'm right. It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide. Do you live your life in such a way where your conscience is clear? So think about this. This is hard. Do you know that why is living out being a Christ follower and empowered by the Holy Spirit so hard? Because it involves a daily cleansing of your soul. This takes time. We don't like to slow down. In fact, do you know the average time? Let me ask it this way. Do you know what the time, the attention span of a goldfish is? Anybody know? Anybody in this room? Cranston location? No? 12. It's 12 seconds. Science tells us it's 12. How do they know that? I have no idea, because I've never tried to entertain a goldfish, but that's what they tell us, right? The goldfish has a 12-second time span. Do you know what the average attention span of a human is? Yeah. 8 seconds. What? A goldfish has a longer attention span than we do. I mean, we've got your attention for 8 seconds. That's all we get. You know why this is hard to keep my conscience clear? Because it's hard to sit still, no noise, and just sit before God and say, God, search me. Psalms 139 tells us to do this. Psalms 139, verses 22 and 23 tells us, God, search my heart and know me and try me and see if there's any wickedness inside of me. That's hard, to just sit there before God on a consistent basis and to ask God to search our hearts. Do you know why you don't live empowered by the Holy Spirit? Because you don't take time to make sure that your conscience is clean, that you're clear, that you're asking God, God, forgive me for the way that I reacted in customer service line. God, forgive me for the way that I yelled at my kids. God, forgive me for the way that I reacted to my manager, to my boss, you name it. Forgive me for it. And you just sit there and you reflect. You know how important this is? As Paul was training Timothy to become that leader for the church, you know what he tells Timothy? Paul tells Timothy this. He says, cling to your faith, Timothy, in Christ, and keep your conscience clear. This is key into living an empowered life. And he's telling Timothy, you've got to keep your conscience clear. Because why? Because some people have deliberately violated their conscience, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Do you want to know what happens to some people who were Christ followers? I mean, 1 month they were like, you know, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? And the next month they're like so far away from Jesus. Their conscience. They didn't keep it clear. They didn't continually come to Jesus and ask Jesus for forgiveness. They continue to justify their sin. That's what people do. They just that's what people do. I just did it in my example of sharing how I blew it, right? I justify, I grew up under Bobby Knight. Oh, he had this influence on me. I don't even know Bobby Knight. This is Rick Moore's fault. I justify it. We all justify our sin. And what we got to do is just come clean before God and say, Jesus, forgive me. There is no justification. You're a holy God and I'm not holy. Forgive me. And you know what? He promises to wash us clean. 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sin, he's what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sin. This is how we keep our conscience clear. Paul thought this was so important that he was trying to help Timothy to understand, hey, listen, all it takes is one step. And because that one step leads to the next step, nope, pull yourself back. Keep your conscience clear. Back in our text in verse number 5. So don't make judgments, he says. Right? Keep your conscience clear. God is going to judge us. And this is what he says. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. And guess what? Jesus hasn't returned yet, so you don't need to judge anybody. Jesus hasn't come back yet, for he will bring, Jesus will bring out our darkest secrets to light, and he will reveal our private motives. Ouch. This is why we need to keep our conscience clear. So that when Jesus reveals those secrets, when he reveals those our private motives, that they've already been confessed. We've already confessed that. They've already been made right. And we don't get judged for that. Because Jesus has already taken the judgment for that upon the cross. That's why Jesus came. So that we wouldn't have to pay. Are you keeping a clear conscience with God? He'll judge our motives. And then when we live like this, look what Paul does. Slide all the way down to verse number 16. So I urge you to imitate me. whoa. Whenever I read, you know, when you first read that, you're just like, oh my gosh, Paul, you're so prideful. No, he's not being prideful when he says that. It can come across like that. But Paul is just saying, because Paul has admitted in other places, he's like, I'm the chief of sinners right here. You know, you want to see who sinned the most, right? That's what Paul's doing. And then over here, he says, hey, I'm keeping my conscience clear. I'm confessing on a daily basis. I'm just trying to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, hey, come and follow me. I urge you to imitate me. How do you know if Paul was actually imitating Jesus? Because he gives us a very clear picture of what that looks like in Galatians 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. And then there's nine things, nine ways. So here's what I want you to do. On the back side of that piece of paper, flip it over and write these nine words. I want you to write love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Will you just write those nine words? And I highlighted the first phrase. It's the Holy Spirit who produces this kind of fruit in our lives. You can't produce the kind of love that the Holy Spirit can produce inside of you. Oh, you can be kind and, you know, you can have a level of love for other people. But to really love somebody, it takes the Holy Spirit to really love them. It takes the Holy Spirit to love the people that just like so irritate you. Those people with that attitude, those prideful people. It, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's possible for you to actually love them. It's actually possible for you to have joy. The Holy Spirit can produce joy inside of you when you are at your worst, you know, phone call. You got that phone call in the middle of the night? No. You know what? The joy isn't dependent upon the happenings around you, right? Joy is dependent on what's going on the inside. And that's he gives you a peace on the inside about whatever that phone call is about. You're not like a happy joy. Don't think joy is like, oh, ooh, and you're jumping up and down. No, it's not like this celebration type of joy. It's this calmness tied in with that peace that only Jesus can give you. It's patience. You run low on patience, let the Holy Spirit produce in you a patience that you could never produce inside of yourself. A kindness, the goodness, faithfulness. Man, your faith is going to be tested time and time again. And when your faith is tested time and time again, the Holy Spirit can produce a faithfulness in you. You can stay faithful. You can do this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit empowers you to stay faithful. You lose in self-control. It's possible for you to have self-control as you lean into the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I cannot make this decision. I cannot not go back down that road without you. Help me, Holy Spirit. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. That's how this happens. And this is how we can live a life of a clean conscience, and this is how we can live a life that's in power. And this is why on your connection card, the very first next step, it says this: daily I will ask God to search my heart and to point out my sin so I can keep a clear conscience. Will you do that? Will you put this spiritual practice into your life that you will daily take time just to reflect and ask God, show me, point out my sin. And see what God... And write it down. I'd encourage you to write it down. Just write it with one word. Write it down. And then you confess that. Say, God, keep my conscience clear. And then the next day you come. And you reflect on your day. God, point out the sin. And then He points out your conversation. Or your argument with your wife. Right? He points out your... whatever, with whomever. He'll point those things out to you. And that's a time you can keep your conscience clear. So will you do that? We invite you to do that. The other next step says, I don't want to only talk about Jesus. I desire to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so I can live out the practices of Jesus. You know, there's no way you can practice the way of Jesus without being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus prayed for you. In John 17, he prayed that you would become one with the Father as he is one with the Father. And he made that possible. He wouldn't pray a prayer that he didn't believe in. He wouldn't pray a prayer for you. He would not do that, that he didn't think was possible. Jesus prayed that it's actually possible for you to be one with the Father like Jesus was one with the Father. John 17, go read it yourself. Will you? See, when we live like this, we'll be able to practice the way. When we live like this, we'll be able to see the spiritual climate of Rhode Island change. Because the Holy Spirit of God will come down. And the Holy Spirit of God will bring conviction where conviction is needed. And the Holy Spirit will bring encouragement where encouragement is needed. If you need prayer, take out your phone and text that word pray to our texting number, 401-496-9710. If you're online watching, it's easier to text, then we ask you to do that. But no matter where you're located, this next step is for those of you who don't even have the Holy Spirit inside of you. This teaching was directly directed towards every Christ follower. But not everybody in this room or at South County or Lincoln or online is a Christ follower. And if you aren't a Christ follower, the first thing that you need to do is place your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus. And we would love to have that conversation. If you'll use the same texting number, the phone number, but just use the keyword trust. Text trust to 401-496-9710. And when you do that, you're going to get an instant reply. Click on the link inside there. And that's where you give us your name. And we'll reach out. And we'll have that conversation with you. We'd love to have that conversation with you. And I hope that you will. I want to pray for all of us. Jesus, we come to you this morning. And we declare our dependence upon you. Jesus, we say thank you for praying for us in John 17. We say thank you for not just praying an empty prayer, but Jesus, you believed in what you prayed for us and how we could become one with the Father. And we are able to do that when you give us the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, won't you come and work in every Christ follower? For the Christ follower who's been following you for 50 years, will you penetrate their heart and will you reignite in them a fire for you, a love for you, a love for people that will change the way that they live? God, I'm praying for the Christ followers who have been living as a grouchy, grumpy person in their workspace or at their school. God, will you change them and give them that joy? Give them that peace. Give them the patience. Give them the self-control. Give them that kindness and that goodness that can only be produced by you, Holy Spirit, so that we can live our life before other people as a letter that is written to give you, Father, honor and glory. So please, will you come and work in our life in this way? We need you to do that. And Father, for that person that hasn't placed their faith and trust in you yet, I pray that today would be the day that they would receive you and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would come and live inside of them, and it would turn their world inside out. Please. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.